Glory be to God. All right, let's jump in. How many of you will hold up your Bible and let me see it? I love seeing your tablets, your phones, your actual Bibles. Amen. And that's the areas the country, the times we live in. And it's an honor that at least you bring your Bible. Right, Seth? Good to have your Bible. Amen. Pull out your phone. There you go. They just showed it to me. I want you to receive a message. As y'all know, for the last few times I've been here, please pray for me and the Bowens and my wife as we head to Las Vegas on Thursday. And prepare. Does anybody have the Cowboy Channel? Do you have the Cowboy Channel? You need to get it. You need to get it. Or at least you can get the app and watch the National Finals Rodeo. We're a Cowboy church, so we ought to be supporting Western things. And the Cowboy Channel, if you got DirecTV, you can get it. It doesn't cost that much. But you can also get that app. I don't know what it costs, but it costs a little bit. I know they're going to be having me on that broadcast probably Saturday night, usually is when, and it's right before the rodeo, and they do just a kind of tailgate type party. But a lot of people watch the broadcast right before the National Finals Rodeo, and they promote Cowboy Church. And I've been doing the service there for years, and last year that was moved from the Mandalay Bay to Resorts World. That's where the PRCA Pro Rodeo, that's where all of them are housed. The Cowboy Channel itself is there. And I think 4 to 5 of the contestant groups are there. I believe last year the bareback riders all were there, all 15 of them. All of the barrel racers, all of the calf ropers, and maybe one other group that maybe the saddle bronc riders were there as well. So there'll be a lot of people there. And at 10 o'clock, we'll do church and for the national finals. And a good friend of mine that steer ropes now, but has made the national finals in the team roping several years, will be giving his testimony. And his name is Coleman Proctor. You ought to go look him up on Facebook. He's got a huge, huge following. And, man, just a smart guy, but loves the Lord. And so be praying for us as we go there, come back Monday. And then, as y'all know, we get ready that next weekend for a Christmas concert here. I think Liberty Hill's doing a Christmas parade on Saturday. And then the next weekend is an ornament exchange for the ladies, and we just keep going, you see. But for the last several times that I was here, I felt a mandate from the Lord to again prepare us in different ways. We talked about seed, how seed is very important in all areas. If you're an angry person, you're planting seed, and you're going to reap a lot of anger around you. If you sow love, you plant seed of love, then, man, you're gonna be loved by a lot of people, because that's just, it attracts that. Remember in Luke, the Bible says, 6:38, if you give it, whatever you give, usually we talk about finances when you're giving money to the church or whatever, but it's anything. Anything you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll cause people to give unto you whatever, with the measure it says that you give. And that's a pretty important statement, with the measure that you give. So the mandate is that we need to be prepared of knowing what seeds we plant. We need to know the power of our tongue. What comes out of this mouth either speaks life or it speaks death. Then we talked about weeds. A bad weed can destroy a crop. And a lot of times, even in good ground, a tear, a weed will grow with it. And That's not necessarily a bad thing if your grass is better than the weed. But what it does is it causes you to identify the weed so you can uproot it. Get that weed out from the root, praise God. Because if the root, you just chop it off, then it's going to grow back sometime. That's why I've always preached that when so many people, we always have new people come to this church. It's going on 20 years that we've had new people. Almost every single Sunday. I can't think of any time ever that there wasn't at least one or two or three or 10 new people. And I've always said that when there's a spirit of, what would be a good word, Lord? When people are just, they've been offended. Let's just use that offended spirit. When they've been offended at another church, then they leave it, then they start hunting other churches to go to. Here's the issue, though. If you don't tend to that spirit of offense that caused you to leave the last church, it will come to the new church. And it may not come up for, a year or two sometimes, but if you hadn't tended to it and there's still that hurt, something to trigger it, and that spirit of offense will come to the new church, and before you know it, someone's mad over something. But if you tend to it and you get delivered from that spirit of offense, understanding that we all kind of make mistakes every now and then, even good churches. But if you got grace and mercy like Jesus had, then you recognize that tear, you recognize that wheat, you recognize that spirit of offense, and you uproot it. You don't just chop it off, see? Okay. And so then, last week we talked about being scattered, because that's what a lot of times the enemy wants you to scatter instead of have unity. And if people are scattered, and we talked about being scattered, because it's a dangerous thing when you're scattered, because that's too much to do. You get scattered when you got too much to do, too much on your mind, too many distractions, pulled in too many directions. And scattered, man, is just being stretched out in a bad way, where you're scattered in such a way where, you sometimes get anxiety and depression and stress and things like that. Well, that's happening in these last days like I've never seen. In marriages, boy, if you got a good young marriage, boy, you take care of that marriage, because the enemy doesn't want you to have a successful marriage in any way. And he tries to scatter you. That's why he scattered the children of Israel, and he wanted them so scattered to go away from God's anointing, God's dwelling place for those people. And, we got to get them back. That's why it's important for you and I to pray for Israel. I've taught my family, we pray for Israel, because the Bible says if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. But if you curse them, did y'all see our president had an anti-Israel book, and why he had it in his hand coming out of a store is not very smart, because the media is going to zoom in, and it was an anti-Israel. Dangerous for our country, because he's the leader right now for a couple more months. But I want to bless. So the Lord has had me have a mandate on just giving you keys to the kingdom that we talked about in the offering message, how God's given you a key to the kingdom. He wants you to have success, praise God, in the midst of a trial and tribulation. So here's a message that I want to talk about, because there's storms. The storms of life are all around us a lot of times. And we need to know what to do in the midst of a trial and tribulation. Do you give up? Do you go back to the days of Babylon before you gave your life to Jesus? Do you do things like the world? Do you allow the spirit of fear to come in your life when when the doctor has said something negative to you about your health? Or do you tune in to the Word of God? Well, there's a way through the Word of God that can help you get through any trial and tribulation, that will help you stay in victory. Because listen to me, nowhere, and I've never preached this, nowhere does it say you're exempt as a believer in Jesus Christ because of the blood of the Lamb, the word of His testimony. You're exempt from trials and tribulations. I've never preached that, because I understand that you're going to go through, since we live in a world, we're just not supposed to live of the world. You're going to see a lot of things, and you're going to go through some testing times, trials and tribulations. The key is you got to learn how to get through them and not build the tent. Remember, I've said it many times. People build tents in the middle of a trial and tribulation, and they stay there for years sometimes. And God has given you the keys to the kingdom to get through the trial and tribulation so that you can have victory, you can have peace, you can have joy, praise God. And I've always said it, I'm not talking about happiness. Praise God, the Cowboys won. But just wait a week or two. And you don't know what's going to happen to any team, really. You need joy. This everlasting, not just happiness when a good thing happens. No, I want joy. Well, for 30 minutes, I want to deliver a message to you that's entitled Worship Through the Storm. Let me say it again. Worship through a storm. I want you to turn in your Bibles real fast to Mark. Mark's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, but go to Mark, and go to chapter 4. Let's read a familiar story real fast to set this message up, and let's just begin reading Mark chapter 4, and let's read starting in verse 35. On the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitude, remember, he always preached and the multitude were there to hear him. Sometimes 4,000, 5,000 people that he was ministering to. He took him along in the boat as he was. A little boat. Also with him, a great wind storm. In the King James, it just says a storm arose, and waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up. You can imagine this boat probably had to be good size, right? And here's waves that are taller than it. It was hurricane proportioned winds. That's why it was a wind storm. And it was causing those waves to get big. But he was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow. Love it. He was just asleep. Had no fear. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it?" And I can imagine in his mind, he's thinking, y'all have been with me. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me heal the sick. Why is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Wow, how can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" After going through a heck of a storm, that they were in that kind of fear, you see. Now, I've always preached, and I won't continue to read past that, but I believe that it was the enemy. And it's the enemy that tries to bring the trials and tribulations. It's not God. Don't ever blame God for bad things. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Say amen to that, y'all. God gets the blame for a lot of bad things happening, and they do it to justify bad things happening. Well, God must needed to teach you a lesson. You know, that's why you got cancer. That's not the God I want to serve. I want to serve the healer, not the one that causes the sickness, disease, cancer, etc. So we've got to start understanding that God's good, the devil's bad, right? The thief is what comes to steal. That's John 10:10. Y'all know it. Comes to steal, say it with me, kill and destroy. That's his job. But Jesus came that we might have life and more abundant life. So here's a storm, and all Jesus says is, peace, be still. I've told this story before real fast. But I was doing a rodeo in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I was fixing to do cowboy church, and a rancher that lived right down the road, I've stayed at his house many, many, many times, called me and said, Corey, a big storm's coming. It's huge. I'm talking the winds. If you've got your awning out in your motorhome, get them in and prepare for this. Well, it was the first year that I had been in the southern region of College Rodeo, and I had came from the southwest region where there were 200-300 college kids would come to a church service every rodeo. And I mean, the move of God was major in College Rodeo in Texas. So I decided that season was done. I turned it over to some people, and me and my family moved down this way. And we started ministering in the southern region, and one of the college rodeos is Lake Charles, Louisiana. So when he said that, and it was my first time to try to get these kids fired up for God, and I'm talking about at the rodeo, there were kegs of beer out. I mean, it was wild. Those Cajuns are wild, though. And here the rancher is saying, hey, there's a storm coming. Well, we're going to do the service in the covered arena, but all of their trailers were out there. So I'm thinking, oh, man, if that storm comes, they're not going to come to hear the word of God, get saved, delivered, healed, set free. I remembered this story. So I always wanted to sow seed, and I helped pull the barrier. I pulled bull ropes. I ran scores during the... I mean, they always saw me so that I was one of them and not just preaching at them. So they gained trust for me and my family. And I knew, though, they wasn't probably going to come from their trailers in the pouring rain to come and hear a message of salvation, of victory, of let's get fired up for Jesus, man. We don't have to be all about those kegs of beer. Let's be about Jesus, praise God, and have some victory. Have the blessing of God. So I was pulling the barrier when he called me, and I decided, okay, I remember this. Jesus said, peace be still. So I walked out the back, and I wasn't very far. I mean, they were still maybe 20, 30 feet, and I stepped out, and I didn't care who heard me. I said, storm, you listen to me. Because you got to get a little bit of dad in you, you know. What'd you say, boy? You know how you women are. Huh? Yeah, I mean, they got some, right, fellas? I said, storm, I take authority over you, and you will not come here. He told me it was going to be there in about 15 minutes, by the way, and we still had about 30 minutes of roping left, and then we would do church. I said, storm, you will not come here. You will either stop or you'll go around in Jesus' name. And then I walked back, and I didn't care who heard me, because I'm sure those college kids warming up their horses were like, who was he talking to? But I was speaking to the storm like Jesus did. And the Bible says that Jesus gave us, when he ascended to heaven, the authority to use his name. And at the name of Jesus, every demon flees. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confesses that he's Lord and bows down to him, praise God. I have the authority because he lives on the inside of me. People just don't understand the authority they have in Christ Jesus. And I knew this storm was coming, and I said, you will not come here. You will not ruin this service in Jesus' name. Go around. Now, I don't do that to tornadoes. I tell tornadoes to go back up in the air. I don't say, go around and kill other people. Just not me. No, you tell tornado. But this storm, maybe the ranchers needed some rain. I just said it was not coming here to Lake Charles, to the Coliseum, to stop the move of God. And I did it. Remember that, James? I said, you will not come here. You go around or you hold in Jesus' name. So I went about my business. We finished. We probably had more salvations at that one service, which was the first service when I got to the southern region, or at least in that area. It was the major move of God. But as we were putting the last piece of equipment, sound equipment, up in the motorhome, it let loose, baby. See, there's something about praising God in the storms, because that's exactly what happened here. Is Jesus just declared, peace be still. The same thing happened to Jehoshaphat, if you ever read that in 1 Chronicles, where the armies were coming against him. And I had it here to read it, 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 22, if you want to go home and read it. It's an amazing story, because here the armies, like three or four of them, were coming to attack his little army. And you know what God said? He said, begin to fast. Begin to worship. And that's when they began to sing, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, and his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, and his mercy endures forever. You know what happened? As you know the story, the armies turned on themselves. They got confused, and they killed each other. And then Jehoshaphat even got the spoil. For 3 days he went and got all their belongings, because they didn't need them any longer. They dead. Oh my Lord. I got to tell this story. Me and Jamie, Seth, can't remember who was with us at the Hobo Depot place last Wednesday. Dalton went to Arizona. We're sitting there and I'm eating my chicken fried steak, French fries and corn. I've taken at least 3 to 4 bites when Jamie goes, oh, Corey, you're supposed to be at a funeral at 2:00 and it's 2:00 in Austin. And I'm like, I'm in my work clothes. And I'm like, I went outside because I was like, was it at 3? And so I called and I said, hey. They said, hey, where are you? I said, I'm not there. I can be there really, really fast, but it's going to be. He said, there's only 15 of us, just our family. Come on. I went home. I changed clothes as fast as I could. I got into Jamie's car. By the way, I left them at the restaurant. They had to call Daw, my mom, to come get them. I'm leaving, buddy. I get going down through Liberty Hill, and there's a cop. And I'm going a tad bit fast. And he pulls into the, is a motorcycle cop, and he pulls into the lane, into the turning lane, and said, I'm like, you don't understand. I wanted to say, sir, this is a storm. Shall I shall I command the wheels on the tire to pop on the cop's motorcycle so that I can get it to thou funeral, sir? He pulls me over. Here, I'm late. And he, and that's not like me, because I've always taught my kids, hey, here's the rule. I would rather be an hour early than a minute late. And I've lived that way all of my life. And here, I'm going to be an hour late. And a dadgum cop has stopped me for just going to 15-ish over the speed limit. He walks up, highway patrol, and I didn't know they had motorcycle highway patrolmen. Well, they do, I'm telling you. He said, you're going a little bit fast, sir. I just want to know why. Why? What is causing you? You know what I said? I said, you won't believe me if I told you. He said, try me. I said, well, I'm a preacher and I'm late to a funeral, and I showed him my telephone. He goes, well, let me have your license and what insurance you got. And he went back there, and I'm just, thank you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. He comes back and says, hey, I just gave you a couple of warnings. They'll wait on you. I said, you're right, because she's not alive anymore. He laughed, and I went on. You see, there's something about things that just happen, man. I mean, you've got to praise God, not just in the good times, but when things just happen, when you just make a mistake. And I did. I said, sir, there's no excuse. I'm the one that teaches to obey the laws of the land. And I have no excuse. And thank God he showed mercy on me, y'all. Oh, good. Praise the Lord. That's not an excuse, though, to go in speed. Right, Seth? Ross? Anyway. In Chronicles, that's what he did. He was praising God. So quickly, I want to give you about three things that helps you worship like Jehoshaphat did. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures. And they just begin to praise God, and they got through the storm. Because here's the deal. You've got to get through the storm. Here's the very first thing that will help you worship through a storm. And I'm telling you, cowboys, you've got to get used to worship. It don't matter if you don't sound good in your singing or whatever. There's something about worshiping God. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. In the midst of a storm, not just when things are going good. The first thing we got to do is focus. Number one, focus on who God is. In Psalms 25, the Bible says that he's just. He's compassionate. You got to know who he is. He's faithful. He's good. He's upright, praise God. In Psalms 18, it says he's gentle. He will never leave you, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, you got to keep your eyes on him. That is worshiping through the storm, knowing who God is. God is faithful. He's not out to get you. So when you worship him, thank you for being compassionate. That's what I said all the way to this going home celebration. I said, Father, number one, forgive me for speeding. Forgive me for not getting a confirmation on exactly the time. All I had in my notes was an address. I didn't realize it started at 2. Me and my wife both had no idea, but I was still late. And I said, God, Father, right in the midst of a storm, when I'm speeding, I get stopped, the Lord's trying to say, hey, slow down, boy. You got time. I got there, you know what? I ministered, and it was like I never was late because of the compassionate God we serve. In the midst of a storm, it's important for us to worship, but to focus on who God actually is. Keep your eyes on him and not on the storm. Number two, praise him and become more like Jesus. In Romans 8 and 28, the Bible says God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. Do you love God this morning? I mean it. Listen, do you love God? Because there's something about, I told the Lord yesterday when I was alone, God, I love you. Thank you for being my Father. I've always had that heart about me. I don't understand. When you're born again, believer in Jesus, you're in a different kingdom. Why you don't have that attitude of thankfulness, Father, thank you for loving me. Because they could have been so angry at the preacher who they trusted to be on time to a celebration of a precious woman that went to heaven. But yet, my God had compassion on me, and they understood. I just messed up. Let's just say that. Amen. You see, there's something about understanding that good things happen even in the midst of a trial and tribulation, and worship is so important to those who are called according to His purpose. You see, in the storm, we've got to believe that everything's going to turn out right, or all right in the end. You see, there's something about saying, Father, I trust you. Thank you for loving me right in the midst of this, but I'm not staying here. I praise you. Thank you for being my God. I'm telling you, you'll come out of that, and here's the last thing, and I'll close. The third thing that will help you worship God through a storm is to thank Him daily. This one, I think, is a little more difficult, especially when you're right in the midst of the pain, when you're emotional, when you're spiritually drained or down. Yet, when you thank God and you get into this word, this is what exhorts. The Word of God is constantly exhorting us. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And you, when you worship, ooh, man, right in the midst of it, all you're doing is saying, God, thank you. Thank you for having my back. Even when it seems like no one else has your back, or you're being attacked from every side, remember, your righteousness goes before you, and the glory of the Lord is your rear guard. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. I mean, right in the middle of a storm. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Sing it with me. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms, that kings and kingdoms will pass away, will all pass away, but there's something about that name. And man, when you start singing in the midst of the storm, and you start saying, peace, be still. Jesus, and that anointing comes. Jesus, remember, at His name, every demon has to flee. Jesus, there is something, sing it, about that name. He's our master, right? Master, He's our Savior. Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Say it loud, ready? And Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms, kings will all pass away. But there's something about that name. But there's Oh, you ought to get excited. You ought to praise Him. You ought to say, He's so good. I mean, like right now. Go ahead. I mean, He's good. I mean, right in the middle of a heck of a time, oh, God's good. And you want to talk about the devil? He starts, no, don't sing. No, stay quiet. Sit on your hands. But when you say, Jesus, Jesus. And I don't care how good you sound. I'm telling you, though, when you worship, mountains move. Amen. When you worship, all hell has to stop because of the name that's above every name. And it's going to take us worshiping during these storms. You know what everybody else does? Oh, sir. And they just ball babies. No, we ain't got time to cry. You know what we got time to do? Tell that devil where to go. Get back under my feet, devil. You're not going to destroy me with sickness and disease, because no sickness and disease shall come near my body. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I can do all things. Jesus, 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 there is. And you just keep singing, man. That's how you get through a storm. You can do it like the world all you want to. You got that right. But I'm telling you, start praising Him. Worshiping Him through a storm, you'll get through it. You'll get through that, son of a gun. I'm telling you, and you'll get through with victory. And I'm telling you, you deserve it. You hear me? You deserve it. You deserve victory. That's the God you serve. Did you hear me? You deserve it. You deserve it, boys. Come on. Joel or Jay from Brazil is here. You deserve the best, my brother. He watches us all the time when he was in Brazil. He would comment, amen, in Portuguese, but still. So I'm saying this morning, victory is yours. You want it? Yes. Then worship during the storm in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, praise the Lord. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, that I realize that a corporate service is, you know, that it's ordered. Sometimes we have to deal with time. But Father, You don't have to. You're a God that just wants us to praise You all the time, no matter what time of day. If we're driving down the road home, You want us to worship and praise You. You want us to talk to You so that You talk to us. And You said You hear our prayer. So, Father, thank You, Lord, that confidence comes on every believer in the sound of My voice, that will begin to just get that confidence to worship You, even if storms are trying to come. Even if there's some times of where we just don't know what's going to happen. Insecurities. Don't know the direction You want us to go down. We're just going to worship You and praise You right in the midst of everything. Because You deserve it, sir. So, Father, thank You for helping us learn to worship through the storm. Get on through it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As y'all know, I'd never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive the King Jesus. Do you know Him? Is He your Lord? If you died and stood before Him, called the Great Judgment Day in the Bible, where everybody's going to stand before our God one day. Individually, not with your family, not with your friends, husband or wife, kids. You're going to individually stand before God. What is He going to say? The Bible says He says one of two things. If Jesus, the Son of God, that's why He was sent. Remember John 3:16. God so loved us that He gave. He sowed His only begotten Son. And He said, if you would believe on Him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. Have you done that? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Not a church, not a preacher. Jesus. If He's the Lord of your life, then when you stand before God, God will say and declare to you individually, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven and enjoy the rest, the joy of the Lord." But regretfully, as y'all all know, I'm never ashamed to talk about hell, because it's not a place for you and I. But if you choose to not receive the only way, truth, and life to get to the Father named Jesus, if you choose to say no to God, no to Jesus, "I don't want to have nothing, I don't believe in any of this." God gave us all a will, and you can believe that, but I'm asking you, I'm begging you not to believe that trash. It takes more faith to not believe in a God that created the heavens and the earth than it does the faith to believe in a God that created you and I. The air that we breathe, the moon and sun at the right distance from the earth where it doesn't freeze or burn up. I'm telling you, there's a God. But there's only one way to that God, the Father, and it's through Jesus. If you choose not to have anything to do with Him, you're still going to stand before God one day when you die and leave this earth. And He's going to have to say, "Depart from me." I don't want Him doing that to anybody, y'all. I don't care how bad you treated me. I don't care how ugly you are to me. I still want you to go to heaven. But there's only one way to do it, and it's through Jesus. So again, the question, is He your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord, your Savior? If He's not, I want Him to be today, and I'm going to pray a prayer. When I pray this prayer, we're just going to pray Romans 10:9. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our life and save us, forgive us of sin. So if you're here this morning or you're watching us and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you just don't know what would happen to you if you left this earth and you stood before God. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. Make heaven your home by receiving Jesus and praying this prayer. You ready? Would the believers in here pray this prayer as well? You might be praying it with someone beside you or in front of you, behind you. But let's pray it just like this. You ready? Out of your mouth, say, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I call You my Savior. I call You my Lord. I call You my friend." In Jesus' name I pray.